Father, we lay aside everything in this sanctuary, everything. We want you. We don't want the old life. We want to operate in the new life. We don't want Egypt in our minds, in our hearts, or upon our tongues. We want to speak the high praises of God in all that we do, in all that we sing, in all that we say. We want to speak the very oracles of God. We want to flow in the gift of knowledge and wisdom, Lord. We want you to be so present with us in this sanctuary, in this chapel tonight. We lay our hearts aside. We lay our sin aside. We lay aside all of our selfishness and stiff-neckedness and rebelliousness, Lord. We lay it aside. Oh, God, send revival to the church in America and let it spread across the land and let our nation be revived once again. Let us truly be the salt and the light that you have called us to be. Let us truly be that special people, a chosen people, a holy nation, separate and called out by you. Lord, tonight, if we've sinned by word, by deed, by thought, by action, if we've grieved or quenched or vexed or saddened the Holy Spirit of God in any way, right now we run to the throne of grace, for we do not want to be unworthy, Lord, when we partake of the cup and of the bread tonight. We have aught in our heart. We lay it aside. We repent of such vile wickedness even now. Lord, we think evil of no person, nor do we speak evil of people. We're not gossipers and backbiters, Lord. We're not of that bunch that are after the devil. We're after the bunch that's after you. So, Lord, tonight, help me to teach your word. Lord, visit us. Visit your people. Rend the heavens, O God, and come down and be among the sheep of your pasture. And we love you. We praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn tonight to the book of Exodus, please. Chapter 16. Going to talk about the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven tonight. Exodus chapter 16. Remember Exodus, the way out. There's only one way out of slavery. There's only one way out of sin. There's only one way out of bondage. There's only one way out of Egypt. You must follow and obey the Lord. Amen? There's absolutely no other way. So we've learned that God has delivered the children of Israel by the blood of the Lamb and by His power through the miracles and so forth. And they've crossed the Red Sea, meaning went through the cloud and the whole bit up. They're into a brand new life. And last week, we left, I'm sorry, not last week, but the week before, or 2 weeks ago, whenever I taught last. I don't have, my memory only goes back about 30 seconds ago. But we left off with Elam. Remember the 12 palm trees there, or 70 or whatever, where they went in and there was that time of refreshing after they went through the dry places and how God refreshed them. And so now the cloud is moving by day and the pillar of fire is moving by night. And guess where God is going to move them to? The children of Israel, in the wilderness. And that is the title of my sermon tonight, In the Wilderness, beginning in chapter 16, verse 1. And they, meaning the children of Israel, they journeyed from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the what? The wilderness of sin. Now, we don't really know where that place is today, so it's no sense of me even going in that direction, but that's where they are, which is between Elam and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery by the blood of the Lamb, then, what happened now? Then the whole, say that word with me, the whole, that means everyone, amen? The whole congregation of the children of Israel started rejoicing and praising God and, complained against the leadership, against Moses and Aaron. Where were they? In the wilderness. Now listen to me. Complaining. Oh, what a horrible thing to do. Complaining in the wilderness while right above their heads, the supernatural cloud by day, pillar of fire by night was right above them to give them shade, to give them comfort. Isn't it easy to forget that God is always with you? No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, I'll tell you what, I would rather be in the wilderness of Sinai or any wilderness with God than anywhere in the world. As long as God is with me, I am safe, I am secure, and my provision will always be intact. Well, I'll tell you, we need Jesus to move tonight. Move in our hearts. You know, I look at this complaining here, and when I see all the misery in the world, when I see all the suffering that's going on in this world today, why is it that God's people, they start complaining? They start blaming God, just like lost people do. Listen, the wilderness that we live in a wilderness, don't we? Oh yeah, this is a wilderness. The world is a wilderness. And you know what? There's a ruler here that's trying to rule and reign. His name is Satan. His name is the devil. The Bible says in 1 John 5, remember that the whole world lies in the sway, in the cradle, or in the arms of the wicked one. Oh yeah, he's there in this wilderness, and he's trying to make it worse. I wish to God that we would rise up and say, you know what? I'm tired of people blaming God for things. Why don't we start blaming the devil for some of it? Amen? Because he's the one who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus came that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's not complain, because I'll tell you what, when you do that, and I do that, 10,000 blessings from God are literally forgotten instantly in the presence of just one trial. Oh, church, let's don't be like that. Listen, what a picture of the church today. I'm happy and content as long as nothing changes, as long as I'm not removed from my comfort zone, as long as everything remains the same. Listen to me. When God's church is moving, you better expect change. Nothing. Listen, you know what? I start thinking about that. I know that on the narrow road, when you're on the, now the broad road, you're going to have all kinds of change and say that's, it's just the way life is. But when you're on the narrow road, life should be getting better and better. Amen? Because the narrow road, the narrow way leads to life. And you're constantly changing. And I'll tell you something. You know, here's the thing about changing. If you're not changing, Christian, you're not beholding. Meaning as in a mirror. The Lord, and meaning where you're being transformed into the same image from by glory to glory into the same image of Jesus Christ. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:18. For a Christian to just stay the same, there's a problem. To not advance in your spiritual walk, there's a problem. It means that you've become stagnant. The greatest hindrance to change, to growth, is self. Remember what Jesus told us? He said in Matthew 16:24, said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We are sheep, amen? And we're going to follow him no matter where he leads. So look what happens in verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against the leadership, against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So that sad sin of complaining against God's leader, was Moses simply obeying the Lord? Amen. He was doing what God told him to do. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate the bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness. In the wilderness. You've brought us into this wilderness to do what? To kill this whole assembly with hunger. Why would people lie like that? Did you know that they just said a lie? Did God bring them out of bondage into the wilderness to kill them? Did God bring, when God is leading us along the narrow way, when we're following him, is he leading us to kill us, to starve us to death, to let us die in the wilderness, to die in the desert? No. They just told a lie. They in other words, they used God. All they saw in the wilderness was, it was barren. In other words, they didn't even have enough faith to simply look up and see the cloud. And you know what? We need to have the same, the faith that looks up to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't want to make up lies. When God's not for me, who told you that? God doesn't love me. Who told you that? You can't change God's love. Amen? Oh, no. I'm so thankful. No, listen, God has had a plan for them to lead them into the land flowing with milk and honey, to the promised land. And God has a plan for us as well. And then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain down fire and brimstone from heaven for you. Well, that's what I would have done. You know, that's why I don't have any power in this world. No, God, look what God did. He said, I will rain what? Bread. But look where it comes from. Bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day. And here's the purpose now, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. The incredible love of God. Think about that. I mean, here he has a 2 million plus people. Moses, his hair has already turned gray, okay? I mean, he's just worn out already. And you know, God, he looks at these complaining people, these rebellious people, and you know what he does? Even though they're filled with unbelief, he says, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. You know what I found out in my walk with the Lord is that whenever I am faithless, he remains faithful. Amen? Whenever I feel I can't go on, he is silently pushing me to go on. And I think that, well, I've got a little strength, and I have to remember it's not my strength. It's the strength of the Lord. Let's don't be like the children of Israel. Let's don't be like them. How can we complain when we have the true bread from heaven? Amen? In other words, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 6:33. He says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, that eternal life, that everlasting life. So the Lord continues and he says, and it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in. And it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So on the sixth day, you're going to gather twice as much. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. And we're going to hear that word, God hears, or he hears over and over in this chapter. So he hears the complaints against the Lord. Look what Moses said. He said, but what are we that you complain against us? In other words, I'm not God. I'm not your provider. I'm out in the wilderness with you. Listen to me. We're all in the wilderness together. The wilderness meaning the world, this wasteland that we live in, this world that's doomed to destruction, that's falling apart. And he says, listen, I'm not your provider. Also, Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat. Remember, they were complaining, oh, if we just could go back to Egypt and have the tasty Egyptian steaks or whatever. You know, he says, so it'll be who gives you the meat to eat in the evening. So in the evening, they're going to have meat. And in the morning, bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. So the manna from heaven, the food from heaven, is going to be a test. And they're going to gather every day, but on the sixth day, they're going to gather twice as much because the next day will be the Sabbath, the day of rest. And so after the night's meal is gone, there's nothing there. Think about that. So how would you like it that tonight, ladies, you just had enough to eat, and then there's nothing in your refrigerator? You're going to have to wait till God to provide it in the morning. That's exactly what they had to do. They had to believe the Lord. So a new provision would be there every day. You know, we live in this wilderness. And there are only two kinds of food available on planet Earth. You're either going to partake of heavenly food or you will partake of earthly food. Amen? There's no in-betweens. We're either going to feed off the flesh pots of Egypt, meaning the world, and we're going to starve to death if we do so, or we're going to feast on the heavenly manna. And you know what? To survive in the wilderness, you need wilderness food. And the wilderness food that we need, meaning as we walk through this world, as we walk through this life, we need food from heaven. Amen? We need our strength to be from heaven. And you know what? We need the bread of life. That's why Jesus told us, said, listen, give us, and when he told us to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread, not monthly bread, our daily bread. The wilderness there is that place of testing. May I tell you that I believe that life is just one big long test. Have you ever thought about that? It's just constant. There's never, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just one big old test. And there are only two roads in the wilderness. Two roads in this world. You either the narrow road, as I talked about earlier, or the broad road. There's only two ways to build your life. A person is either going to build their life on the rock. Remember what Jesus said, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken them to a wise man who built his house on a rock or on the rock. And when the floods came and the winds came and so forth, that house didn't fall. But those people who hear Jesus' sayings, he said, and doeth them not. He said, I liken him unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And all the storms came, and Jesus said, and great was its fall. I want to ask you a question. Could God, with just one word, turn the wilderness of sin that they were located in into a paradise? Yes. I mean, God could have just simply changed everything if he wanted to. Listen to me. God knows what we're going through. God knows what we're experiencing in this life, what we're facing. And you know what? You're going to trust something or someone here in this world. You're going to trust something or someone to get you through this wilderness. And the best one to trust is Jesus Christ. Amen. You remember whenever in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, when it says, and then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Remember that? Into the wilderness. There where there was no food, there was no water, there was nothing. And he had fasted already 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, he was a-hungered, it says, or he was literally starving to death. You know what the devil did. The devil came up and said, hey, look at that rock. It looks like almost a loaf of bread, doesn't it? Just, you know, if you're the Son of God, just speak to it. Turn it into a loaf of bread and eat. Why would you starve your God? Remember what Jesus said? He said in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Amen? We need bread, but we can't live alone. In other words, our bread, our self-sufficiency or whatever. Man shall not live. Man, he said, man, that's us. By bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen. Did you know that Jesus there in the wilderness, do you know what he did while he was in the wilderness and how he survived in the wilderness? He left us an example to teach us how to do that. He quoted a wilderness scripture. That's Deuteronomy 8:3 and the Matthew 4:4 is Deuteronomy 8:3 in the Old Testament. It was a wilderness scripture. You in the wilderness? Well, we don't live by bread alone. Does everything look barren? Everything look like it's falling apart? Don't know which way to turn or what to do? I pray that every soul in this place is listening to me. Not distracted by something on a cell phone. But your hand is on your Bible and your eyes and your heart are fixed on Jesus. Amen? We need God's Word to live. We need God's Word to live and survive in the wilderness that we live in. See, if we don't partake of the manna from heaven, the Word of God, we can change that word live to exist. I don't want to exist in this life. I know and I'm convinced in my heart that obedience to God's Word is a secret to everything. And you know what? Even when I don't want to obey, when my flesh wants to resist or I want to lash out when others speak evil or whatever, but you know what? I have learned, not that I've made it, not that I've arrived, not that I'm perfected, but I've learned that God's way is the only way. I fail miserably at it at times. Don't get me wrong. But I know that's the only way. And when I don't do it God's way, it always costs me. It always gets me in trouble. Bread alone cannot sustain us, folks. But I'll tell you what, God is the one who sustains us. And that means that the Word of God in the wilderness that we live in must be our source of daily nourishment. It is vital that we have that. And then Moses spoke to Aaron. He said, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, look what he said, come near before the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we need to do. Draw near unto the Lord, and He'll draw nigh to us. Amen? It says, come near before the Lord, but look why. Again, we've heard this over and over. For He has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Now, I don't really know what that means. Now, I know about the Shekinah glory of God. I mean, that shining light and all of that. But may I say, we're not told how He appeared. It says that the glory of the Lord appeared in that cloud. Don't you wish that we knew what that looked like? I mean, how can you see the glory of the Lord that appears in the cloud? And you know what's sad? That in context here, God is saying, I don't like your complaining. Do you understand? It says He heard their complaints. God is saying, here's my glory. I love you. I am for you. I am with you. I'm day and night. You're never alone. Jesus is with us always, even till the end of the age. Amen? He says, don't complain. Don't do that. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I have heard. Here He goes again. God says, I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them and saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up in evening, covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. Can you believe that? You know, I was reading a commentary today, and no disrespect against the writer of that commentary. He's human, you know. But he was saying, well, at a specific time of year, quail just naturally come into this area. You know, and I'm going, sir, that's okay with me. But I'm going to tell you something. If I was sitting there every evening at the same time, and I saw my dinner marching toward me, I'd have to say that's a miracle. Amen. I mean, if I could have some barbecue ribs marching down my street right into my drawer every night, I'm going to say, here comes dinner. Let's chow down. I don't have to hunt for it. I don't have to search for it. It's a miracle. And it didn't cost me a dime. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, God provided that. Man, can you imagine eating all those quail and dumplings? You know what I'm saying? Going to bed that night, you're so full, you're so stuffed, you have a full stomach. You know what I mean? And then while you sleep, it says, then in the morning, in other words, while they were sleeping, and in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp, that manna that's coming upon the dew. Can you believe what God is doing? And it says, and when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the what? The wilderness. We are in the wilderness, loved one. This world is a wilderness. There at the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. Isn't that amazing? You know, it says in Psalm 78, I believe 78, 25, right in there in that area, it says that men ate angels' food. I don't know. Is manna angels' food? I don't know. It says in Numbers 11, 9, listen to this. It says, and when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. So the manna was so pure, it couldn't even touch the earth. It had to rest on the dew alone. Can you imagine coming out of your tents, if they were in tents or whatever they were? Think about this now. You've had a great night's sleep. You throw the tent door open. You walk out there and the sun is just coming up and it's hitting upon millions and millions and millions and millions of... You follow what I'm saying? That manna? What a sight that must have been. And then to go and pick up all that provision. And so it says in verse 15, look at this now. It says, and so when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Amen. And that's what manna means. What is it? You know, and I mean, they didn't know what it was. They'd never seen anything like it before. It came from heaven. Are you following me? It was supernatural. It was a miracle. They said, what is it? And for they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, watch this. This is the bread which the Lord God, or the Lord, has given you to eat. Loved one, listen to me. We are walking through, or being guided, I should say, I pray, through a desert just like Israel. You know, we live in a dry, barren place. The world is a dry, barren place. Can you imagine being here in the world? There's not really one drop of water here. There's not even one piece of green blade of grass. And what God is saying is their life can only be sustained by something from above. Amen? And that's our life too. We're sustained by God who lives in heaven. And we're on a journey to our homeland. We're not of this world. Let's don't live on substitutes. Amen? Let's only Jesus can satisfy you and only satisfy me. We don't have to live on some cheap substitute, some cheap imitation of living or life. No, no, no. You know what? Christ, in a sense, not that I'm trying to be weird, but Christ, in a sense, is our cloud, isn't he? The reason I say that is because he's at the throne of grace right now. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. And I think about this and I say, oh, Lord, you know what? Only Jesus, only you can satisfy us, really. No one else can. Jesus said this in John 6:35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger. Wasn't that a wonderful promise? Never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus said in John 6:57, as the living Father has sent me and I live because of the Father. Listen to what he says now. So he who feeds on me, the bread of life, will live because of me. Our only provision in this wilderness of the world that we live in, a place that is filled with people that are dead and trespasses and sins, a people that are looking for life and looking for love and looking for peace and looking for joy. Oh, how we need to reach out for them, because only Jesus can sustain them and save them, and he is our only provision here in this wilderness that we live on. Let me say something to you. Feeding on Christ is more than having a big, fat study Bible, okay? Mark your Bibles. That's a good thing to do. Fill up all of your notebooks. Go to conference after conference. It's okay. I'm not condemning any of those things. But you know what? We need to every day go up and gather fresh manna from heaven. Amen? Every morning, every day, we need to feed upon Christ. We need that fresh manna. We need the living word. Let me say something. I promise you that if you neglect your Bible, you'll starve to death, Christian. You need the Word of God. You need the Word. Meditating on the Word. That's like last night, or maybe it was the night before last, and there was some junk going on, and it was such a comfort to turn to the Bible for truth. Amen? To turn to the Word of God that gives peace to our hearts, and that you can trust the Lord and how he's always working things out. It says, this is the thing which the Lord God has commanded. It says, let every man gather it, meaning the manna, according to each one's need. One omer, and that's about 2 quarts, okay, about. It says, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who had gathered much had nothing left over. He who had gathered little had no lack. And every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it, any of the manna, till morning. In other words, it all had to be gathered. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. They didn't obey him. But some of them left their part of it, left part of it until morning, and look what happened to it. It bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. You know, unbelief does stink, doesn't it? Unbelief, I think, you know, remember what the Lord says here? I'd rather you be hot or cold, you know? He said, not, I just, you know, vomit you out of my mouth. Isn't that a horrible saying? You know, boy, I look at it, and this unbelief, it breeds destruction, it breeds ruin. Boy, we need to gather the manna, the living bread, the Word of God. We need it every day, don't we? We need to gather it every morning. Do you know what? You think God would say, oh, wait a minute, that's an omer of gathering my Word this morning. You've had two quarts, that's all you can have. Huh? No, God says, come in and feast upon the Word of God. That's what He wants us to do. And you know what? When we don't use what God is giving us and obey it, you know what? It does turn to corruption. Jesus said this. He said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it'll be measured to you again. And to you who hear, more will be given. More will be given as we feed upon the Word of God. It says, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it just disappeared. Isn't that amazing? It just melted before their eyes. You know, we have been given a small window of opportunity just like that. That's just a small window. You had to get it before the sun came up. You know, and we have just a small opportunity to obey the Lord, to believe God's Word. There's a day of grace that's closing, and one day the door is going to be completely shut. May I ask you a question? This is only to love you. I'm not trying to hurt you tonight, but just to challenge you, provoke you just for a minute. Do you really believe God's Word? No, I mean, do you really believe God's Word? Do you believe that he who believeth in me, Jesus said, will never die? Do you really believe that whenever you do die, to be absent from this body is really to be present with the Lord? No. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that there is a place that he has made and built for you, a mansion in heaven? Well, one day you're going to have to make sure you believe that. Amen. Oh, how we need to hold on to the Word of God. It's our nourishment in the wilderness that we live in, knowing that God does not lie, and everything he does for us is so wonderful. And it says here, and so it was on the sixth day when they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, that all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, well, this is what the Lord said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. And then Moses said, and that's a miracle in itself, amen? And then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord, and today you will not find it in the field. So on the seventh day, there was nothing out there. That's why they had to gather twice the amount on the sixth day. So 6 days you'll gather, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath, there will be none. And now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. I ask you a question. Why would you do that? I mean, why is it that there's always people that they're going to do, they don't care? Let's finish it. What does it say here? It says, and the Lord said to Moses. Now, the Lord is talking to Moses. It's like he's complaining himself. He says, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? In other words, they knew what to do. They heard what they were supposed to do, but they would not do it. Isn't that amazing? God says, there's not going to be anything out there, you moron. There's just nothing out there. Oh, listen, you know what I find? There are so many people, you know, the Sabbath means rest, okay? There's a day, God says you need a day to rest. There's so many people in the world today, even in the church, they don't ever enter into the rest of God, do they? And I go, oh, that's a day we need to enter his rest. We need to do that. And how is it that so many today, just like then, they know better than God? They know better than God. This is the way I'm going to have my marriage. Well, okay, but is it having marriage God's way? This is the way I'm going to raise my children. Okay, but are you going to raise them God's way? Well, I'm mad at somebody. Okay, well, are you going to do what God says if you're mad at somebody, Christian? Are you going to take Matthew 18:15, what Jesus said, and go to that person instead of going to everybody in the church? Go to that one person and say, I got a problem with you. All right, what is it? Smack, tell me about it. That's what Daryl told me to do. Well, what if he doesn't hear me? Well, go get a couple of witnesses and bring them. Well, what if that doesn't work? Well, then take it to the church. Why do people not do things God's way? They refuse. They know what to do, yet they refuse to do it. May I tell you that God is never wrong about anything. Never. His word is never wrong. And may I say that disobedience profits us nothing. Now look what it says in verse 29. It says, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day, he's giving you what? Bread for 2 days. There's no one like our Lord. Let every man remain in his place. Pardon me. And let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name, what is it? In other words, manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. You know, what's so sad about this is that God did not intend for them to live on manna for 40 years. Amen? It was just going to get them through the territory so they could go into the promised land. And you know, I look at that and I go, this is so sad, because after a while, when we get over in the book of Numbers, you know what we're going to learn about the children of Israel? That they despised the manna. They hated God's provision. Matter of fact, let me just read from Numbers 11:4 quickly to you. It says, now the mixed multitude who were among the children of Israel, yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel wept again and said, oh, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics. But now our whole being is dried up. There, listen to what they say. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Isn't that sad? Wanting to go back to Egypt, lusting for the things of this world. In other words, they were saying, you know what? There is nothing in existence equivalent to what they had. This was angel's food. This was food, that miraculous food that came down from heaven. And you know what? It sustained them perfectly. It must have been incredible. Listen, they said, no, this is what God has provided. It doesn't look like garlic, or doesn't smell like garlic. It doesn't taste like a melon or one of those fish, you know. It says, they go on in Numbers, and it says, and now the manna was like coriander seed, which we just read. Its color were like the color of Bedlam, that white frost. And the people went about and listened to what they did with it. They gathered the manna. Then they ground it on millstones. They beat it with mortar. They cooked it in pans. They made cakes on it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. The wilderness. The world is the wilderness. And I'll tell you something. This place, the world, will always reveal our hearts to God. They did everything they could to change God's provision. It says, remember I just read, they ground it, they beat it, they cooked it, they sliced it, they diced it. I mean, they did all of it, okay? And they wanted to change. They wanted to taste like Egypt. And here's what's so sad. When we get over to the book of Numbers, do you know what? We're going to find out when that event occurred, they were only 10 days, 10 marching days, if you will, from the promised land. And they never made it. Isn't that sad to be so close to God's provision for you? When you're going through the wilderness, listen, the wilderness of this world, I'm telling you that God's provision is in front of you. We don't want to be stopped by complaining. We don't want to complain about what God's provision is. Listen, whatever God provides, it'll be sufficient. Amen? And I look and I say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. And then it says in verse 32, quickly now, it says, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread, in other words, the manna, the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness. And when I brought you out of the land of Egypt, and Moses said to Aaron, take a pot, put an omer of manna in it. In other words, remember that omer, 2 quarts or water, nearly 2 quarts, was a man's daily ration or a man's daily portion to sustain him. And lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. So a memorial. God says, I want a memorial. I want everyone to remember, the children of Israel to remember that I rained down manna from heaven. God is our only provider. Amen. He is our only provider. And you know, later on there in the ark, you know, they're going to lay it up. And then when the ark comes about, as we'll find out in Exodus, when they build the ark and so forth, we're going to find out that, remember, they put in the ark, what? A golden jar full of that manna is going to be in there. And then Aaron's rod that budded, and then the Ten Commandments. And then thank God that there's a mercy seat on top of that ark where Jesus poured out his blood. Amen? Because the truth of the matter is the Ten Commandments were kept by Jesus, but every one was broken by us. The rod that budded, which speaks of Jesus' resurrection, but also of authority, the authority that we despised. And then God's provision, the thing that we did not want, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to his own, but his own received him not. They rejected him. I'm so thankful that we were born again tonight, aren't you? I'm so thankful that we have received the bread of life, that Jesus is our Lord. And it says in verse 35, it says, and the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now, an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. I don't want you to forget that, okay? I'm putting that one on my refrigerator. Now, I'm not for sure about this ephah, but I think what it is about 2/3 of a U.S. bushel. Now, that's what my Bible said about U.S. about weights and measures in biblical times, okay? So I have no idea. But I do know this, that when we get over to Joshua, we're going to find that he's leading the children of Israel right up to the river. Remember the Jordan. And as he does, God says, okay, you're going to cross over. And what do they do? If you remember, they celebrate Passover. It's the first time they've celebrated Passover since actually all the way back, as we're going to learn in a few Wednesdays in front of us, there at Mount Sinai when the law was given. And here they come. You see, you can't enter into the new land without the blood of the Lamb. Amen? You can't enter into the new land unless you partake and feed upon Christ. That's what they had to do. And I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. And you know what it says in Joshua? Listen to this very carefully. It says in Joshua 5:11, and they ate the produce of the land in the day after Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Now listen carefully. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. They're at Gilgal. Gilgal is a place of transition in our lives. We're always in a place of transition. We really, really are. Can you imagine picking up manna for 40 years and then the next morning you go out and it's not there? You know, you've got to eat the food off of the land now, meaning that God provided for them to the very second, didn't he? Now listen, but did God's provision cease when they got ready to enter the land of Canaan? No. See, there was no break in between at all. God's provision for us never ceases. Never ceases. I'm telling you that some of us are going through difficult times, even financially hard times. But God's provision is there, and it will. I don't know if he's going to rain it down from heaven. I don't know how he does it. But I know that our God will provide all of our needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And that's what we need to cling to. That's what we need to know tonight. Let's prepare our hearts for communion and have the ones come forth and to serve tonight. And You know, let's be a faithful people. Amen. Let's be an expectant people. Let's be a people that believes God, trust God, no matter what we're facing. I'll tell you something. Expectancy is exciting, isn't it? Not knowing what God is going to do for you tonight, not knowing what God is going to do for you tomorrow. The Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, above all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us. Loved one, listen. What do you need tonight? Is the bread from heaven, is it enough for you? Is God, is Jesus Christ our provision in this wilderness that we live in? Is he enough for you tonight? Jesus said this. He said in the book of John, he said, most assuredly I say to you that you seek me not because of the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And listen to what Jesus says to them. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon them. And then they said to Jesus, well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Jesus is enough, amen? Jesus goes on and he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they're dead. But this bread which comes down from heaven, the bread that we're having tonight, this bread that came down from heaven, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Did you hear that? He will live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world.